and tragedy. That scripture is 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. In my notes, I have it in both the New King James and as well as the New Living Translation. Let me read both to you. The New King James says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." Then reading that same scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, but in the New Living Translation, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we'll see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." What a great verse that is. It's reminding us, we'd like to know it all right now. But the Bible's telling us that we're not going to know it all right now. Someday we'll know all of it. We'll understand everything perfectly and completely. So when we look at the issue of trials and trouble and tragedy in our lives, the reality is we'd like to understand it completely and perfectly right now. And sometimes there is some understanding, and sometimes there's not any understanding. We looked at the last couple of weeks, common responses to trials and trouble, such as blaming God and blaming everybody else and getting the blame game, but it's particularly when we blame God and all the things that go wrong when we do that. Satan loves it when we blame the Lord for things. And then the other most common response is bitterness. People begin to just have a deep sense of bitterness in their heart and their soul and their spirit, and how destructive that is to each individual to have that bitterness in the midst of trouble. This morning we're going to look at a third response, a great response, I believe. Let me ask you this question this morning. When trials and trouble and tragedy comes into your life, and there's no satisfying answers, what do you do? When there's no clear-cut reasons why you're going through what you're going through, there's no clear-cut reasons, what do you do? When all the so-called spiritual and theological answers are rendered empty and meaningless, how does a Christian handle that? When your prayers seem to go unanswered and you begin to question God, and when your faith is wounded and you feel betrayed, and when circumstances come caving in on top of you, causing you to doubt everything you've ever believed, when all those things are happening, what do you do? The only option to take when all seems to just spin out of control, that you don't have the ability to understand it, the only and the best option is to simply anchor our faith solidly on the Rock of Ages. And when we anchor our faith on the Rock of Ages, it means that we just keep believing. We don't doubt. We don't stop. We continue in the faith. We keep believing. Instead of blaming God, instead of allowing a bitterness to come into our souls that we've examined before, the response we look at today is simply believe. Simply believe. You think about, despite everything that's happened or it may be happening to you right now, this morning, reach deep down in your hearts. Reach deep down inside in your spirit, man, and declare, no matter what, I'm going to keep believing. No matter what, I'm going to keep believing. The last few weeks we examined the story of Martha and Mary when Jesus had delayed his trip to their home when he got news that their brother Lazarus was sick. And of course, Lazarus died. As you know, as we read, both Mary and Martha, they both had the same complaint. They both said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." What they were both saying is that if Jesus had only come a little bit sooner, before the sickness had advanced too far, that he, Jesus, could have done something about the situation, but now it's too late. "Oh, Jesus, if you had just come sooner, you could have remedied this situation." We call that yesterday faith. Lord, if you'd taken care of this yesterday, everything would have been great. If you'd just answered my prayer, if you'd come, if you'd been here yesterday, everything would have been good. Of course, you know, Jesus responded to what both Mary and Martha said. He finally responded. He said, "Your brother will rise again." You probably remember Martha replied. She said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Martha affirmed that belief when she said that. Her belief in the resurrection, that at the end of time, all believers would be resurrected. She's affirming that belief. Someday, yes, he's going to rise, is what she was saying. We call that tomorrow faith. Tomorrow everything's going to be good. Tomorrow we're all going to be in heaven. Tomorrow it's going to be great. But she didn't have much faith that God could do something in the present. She didn't have much faith that God could do something right then to meet that need. Jesus continued. He continued speaking to Martha and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" He's asking her, "Do you believe this?" Now look very closely at Martha's answer. She said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." That sounds like a great answer, doesn't it? You're the Christ, the Son of God, the promised one, the Messiah. But her answer was not what Jesus had asked of her. Jesus didn't ask if she believed that. He asked, "Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life?" So let me ask you today, do you believe that I am is the resurrection and the life? In other words, Jesus is saying, do you believe that I can do something about this now? You understand where we're going with this today? Oh, we've got yesterday faith, we've got tomorrow faith, but I'm talking about today faith. Do you believe God can do something about the situation today? Do you believe He's able to reach in and do something right now? The Bible says that God is the great I am. That's present tense. That's now. That's today. He's not just the God of the past. He's not just the God of the future. Oh, He's all of that. He is the God of right now, today. Whatever you're facing, whatever the problem, whatever the trial, He's wanting to pour into your heart a comfort and an assurance that He's with you, that you're not alone. You know, Jesus desired that Mary and Martha, His heart's desire was that those two women would simply believe in Him. Right then, Jesus wanted them to believe. He wanted them to believe even though they didn't understand. Even though they didn't understand how He could let something like this happen. Because that was still going on in their mind. Jesus, how could you let this happen? Why did you come? He wanted them to believe in spite of that. Are you hearing that today? No matter what He's saying to you and me, we don't understand it. Something's not right. We can't deal with it. He wants to say to us, will you just keep believing? Will you just hang on and believe in me and believe who I am? By example, Job's life was reduced to a heap of ashes. No one could explain why God allowed it. Yet Job uttered out of his deepest anguish, you know these words, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job didn't understand what was happening. He didn't know the whys of what was going on. But what an example for us. "Though he slay me, I will trust him." He didn't say, "I'll believe in him." He said, "I'll trust him." There's a difference between believing and trusting, and we'll examine that a little closer. What we're doing is just spinning out of control. We must stop and say, "God, I will trust you fully, even though I don't understand why you're allowing this to happen in my life. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though I just can't hardly deal with it right now, I will trust you. My life is in your hands. I trust you completely through this that I'm going through. Look at another example. In the Bible, you look at Joseph's life. He's sold into slavery by his brothers. He's taken out of his homeland in Egypt. He's taken to a foreign land he'd never been before. He's taken as a slave. He's in the group of folks that are being bought as slaves, and he has the good fortune of being purchased by a very wealthy and well-known and prosperous man named Potiphar. You remember the story. Potiphar's wife started making advances to Joseph, wanted Joseph and her to be sexually intimate while Potiphar was gone. And Joseph rejected Potiphar's wife's advances. So she made up all these wild stories, making a declaration that Joseph had tried to sexually assault her. She was scorned and she was mad. She was getting even with him. Well, he goes into jail because of the false claims against him. In God's time, by the way, it took some 13 years after he first arrived in Egypt. God vindicated him. He took him from the pit to the pinnacle in one day. In one day, he went from being a slave in the dungeon in jail to being the second in command of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. God works instantly and miraculously when we trust him, though it may take 13 years, as it did in Joseph's case, didn't it? You know, and in Joseph, I love this part of the story. He shared his heart of love and forgiveness with the brothers that had sold him into slavery. 22 years after they had sold him and he was carried off to Egypt, they're back in Egypt, there's a famine, and they're there for food. And you know the story. He reveals himself to his brothers, and they realize who he is, and they're weeping and crying. In the words of Joseph said, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Through all the tragedy and trials and troubles in his life, he understood that God meant it for his good. He learned that not everything that happens to us will be good. But God can turn it around. He can take what is meant for bad. He can make it good, to work out for our good if we just keep believing. In 1860, a huge crowd had gathered to watch the famous tightrope walker called Blondin. He crossed the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. It was a 1,000-foot stretch of rope that was 165 feet above the raging Niagara Falls. And he did this tightrope act numerous times without falling. Also, amazingly, we had PowerPoint, I had a picture of this. He even went across pushing a wheelbarrow, holding this wheelbarrow and going across this tightrope. Well, one day after he had done this incredible feat, he noticed a little boy that was just fascinated with this event. The little boy's face was just shining, and he was so excited. So Blondin went up to this little fella, and he said to him, he says, "Do you think I could take a person across in that wheelbarrow like I just did? You think I could put a person in that wheelbarrow and go across without falling?" And the little fella smiled real big. He says, "Oh, yes, sir, I really do." And Blondin says, "Well, jump in." All of a sudden, his belief was not quite as strong. You get the point. He wasn't quite ready to get in at that point, was he? See, there lies the difference between mere faith and total trust. You see that? Total trust is a little bit different, isn't it? There's a lot of folks that claim they believe in God, but so does the devil, according to James 2 and 19. But how many are willing this morning to trust him completely? To trust him completely even when things happen that you think God could have prevented or could have intervened in. You'll never know how God can comfort you until you face a time of grief in which you need comfort. You'll never know how God can deliver you from fear until you face fear. You'll never know how God can be the lily of the valley for you, so to speak, until you're in the valley yourself. Remember the three Hebrew children? The three Hebrew children only encountered the fourth man in that fire when they were thrown into the fire. Not before, not after, but when they were in the fire is when they encountered that fourth man that looked as he was the Son of God, according to the Word of God. To experience God's healing, sometimes we go through a time of sickness. So many of the things we face in life are often opportunities for God to reveal and to manifest His divine character, His love and His attributes, and to allow us to simply keep trusting in Him no matter what. Otherwise, if it wasn't for all those opportunities, so to speak, how could we learn to trust Him? How could we learn about God? How could we learn how much He really loves us? Somebody once said that you can't have a testimony without first having a test. Y'all have heard that before. You can't have a testimony without first going through a test. How many of you ever prayed this prayer? Oh Lord, help me. And help me to have patience. And Lord, I need it right now. I need it now. I need patience right now. How many of you ever wondered in your mind, in your hearts, why does it seem like God moves so slow? Don't raise your hands. Somebody once said that God passes up a lot of opportunities to be early. But I'm going to tell you, He may be seldom early, but He's never too late. He's an on-time God. In fact, I love the words of Jesus in Revelation 22 and verse 12. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Now, He said that 2,000 years ago, didn't He? Do you still believe what He said? Yes, we do. Obviously, His quickly and our quickly don't exactly mean the same thing, does it? We get that. We have to keep in mind in that scripture, in fact, it's in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." We understand that up here, and we try to get that in our heart, but our emotions, well, that's another thing, because our society and our culture is all about instant gratification. We need a hot meal. I can put it in the microwave, and in just a minute or two, I got a hot meal. It's great. Sherry sends those to me with me sometimes during the week, and I just go to the microwave, and I've got a hot meal. It doesn't take long, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to do it, because I can do it, you know. It's easy. It's real easy. Or if you want a hot meal, you can just go down to Whataburger and go through that drive-in, and in just a matter of a few minutes, you got a big, hot, juicy hamburger. I know you're getting hungry hearing this, but or you could go through Chick-fil-A and go inside or drive through, and you might see Carrie in there working. And you go to Chick-fil-A, and very quickly, you get those waffle fries and a wonderful chicken sandwich, and it doesn't take long, does it? Because we don't like to wait. In fact, if we have to wait very long, we walk back up to that counter. "You got my order, didn't you?" You know, we want to know what's going on because we're impatient. If we're not careful, our demand for immediate responses and answers can carry over into our prayer life. But there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts when it comes to walking and waiting with God. And walking and waiting on God. Scripture comes to mind in Psalm 46 and 10. "Be still and know that I'm God." That takes a little time to get still and get quiet before the Lord. Hebrews 11 and 6. "He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Diligently seeking God isn't an instantaneous thing. It's a continual, constant seeking of the Lord. Isaiah 40 and 30, you know these words. We sing the song. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." They that wait. Are you willing to wait? God help us to wait. In Psalm 27 and 14, the word says, wait on the Lord. Again, wait, really, Lord? Yes. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I say, wait on the Lord. We have to wait. We don't like to wait. The Bible's really clear. Now, when I say these scriptures and making this point, that I am not suggesting that God can't or that he won't work a miracle in your life instantly, because he can do that. We're reminded of that in Ephesians 3 and 20, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. He can do it instantly. He has done it at times in our lives if we step back and look. I know he's done it in my life. When and how God moves is entirely up to him. He is sovereign. He simply wants you and me to trust him no matter what. No matter how long it seems that we wait. No matter how hard this situation seems to be. No matter how unfair we may feel about what's happening. He's saying, can you keep believing? Can you keep trusting in him no matter what? So I conclude today by simply asking, are you completely trusting in him today? Not just believing, but are you completely trusting in him? Have you just said, God, my life is in your hands. I'm yours. I trust you no matter what. Is your hope and is your faith in God and God alone? That's a great song, by the way. God and God alone. Is that all your hope? Is that all your faith? James 4 and 8 reminds us, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You ever had that moment in your life or those times or seasons where it just seemed like God was so distant and you loved the Lord? That word that says draw near to God, there's a promise there that if we seek God, if we draw near to him, constantly, daily, in our prayer, in our heart, that expression of, oh God, I need you. I need to feel close to you. I need to feel your presence. I need the ministry of your Holy Spirit affirming in me, you're here with me. I need you. I am drawing near to you. There's that promise that says when you do that, he will draw near to you. Oh, and he'll do that. Draw near to God. Rest in that promise. Make sure your hope is in him and in him alone. And enjoy that hope we have, all of us that have trusted in Christ. That's the hope of eternity. That the things of this life will soon be o'er. It'll be just a little blip in time compared to all of eternity that we'll have in heaven with our loved ones, with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a great God we serve today. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for the Word. God, I thank you that your Word and your Holy Spirit guides our minds and our hearts and our faith. In the midst of trial and trouble and tragedy, Father, let us just to continue to believe, to continue to trust you with all of our hearts. Keep our lives in your hands, dependent upon you, serving you willingly, humbly, reaching out in faith to draw near to you. Father, those that are here in this place of worship today that are struggling, may your Holy Spirit give hope and encouragement. May your Word provide hope and faith. And may your promises lift and encourage and bless as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you thanks. Amen, amen, amen.